Our reading this evening is from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
I'd just like us to pray for Caroline before she brings God's word. Father, thank you for Caroline. Thank you for the work that you've been leading her through in preparing this talk for us this evening. And Lord, I pray this evening that you give life to the words that she's prepared. Lord, come by your Spirit and work through her, I pray. And Lord, speak directly to each one of us. Just give her authority in this place to speak your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ricky. Good evening. I've always had an interest in people. I love the diversity of God's creation, in that while we're all made in the image of God, we're all so jolly different. In Genesis 1, verses 27, it says, "God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." And yet, when we look around, we are all so diverse and different and amazing. I also love reading autobiographies because I love people. I like finding out about their lives, perhaps because I'm naturally a bit inquisitive, or perhaps some might say nosy. But when reading the Bible, I'm naturally drawn to the people, to the characters in the Bible. And I love looking at what I can learn from their lives and apply to my life. Recently, I read that story that Colin so beautifully read to us And I was really struck by the character of Ananias. We tend to focus on the character of Saul within the story, but the character of the story of Ananias really challenged me, and God has kept speaking to me about it since, and I thought it was right to bring it to you this evening and just share my thoughts. Before we look at Ananias, though, we do need to take a bit of a look at Saul to understand who Saul was. Basically, Saul was a really nasty man. The passage says he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, or as the Message version puts it, he was breathing down the necks of the Master's disciples out for the kill. He really doesn't sound like the sort of guy you want as a best friend, does he? He hated anyone who spoke or believed in Jesus. He had killed and imprisoned believers in Jesus because of their faith, and he would do everything in his power to harm, kill, or persecute Christians. When I read this passage, I am in awe of how dramatically Jesus stepped into that man's life. He transformed his life, showing him powerfully who he was. A light from heaven flashed around Saul, which made him fall to the ground, and Jesus spoke directly to Saul. He heard Jesus' voice audibly say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Then the question from Saul, "Who are you, Lord?" suggesting he knew who it was, that it was the Lord calling him. Jesus confirms who he is and gives Saul instructions. He says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And when he got up, he couldn't see. His friends had to help him by leading him by the hand into the city of Damascus. And we're told that Saul was blind for 3 days and that he didn't have anything to eat or drink during that time. Sorry. That's all right. Is it a bit close? Sorry. I can hear it making noises. Thank you. Is that better? It's a bit less puffy. Thank you. And at this point is where Ananias then comes into the story. Ananias was a popular name during New Testament times, a bit like in my day, there were several Davids in my class. That was the popular name. Ananias was like the David in that time. And this Ananias is clearly not the same Ananias as the one who died in Acts chapter 5. You can read about that another time. There is more than one Ananias in Acts. But we're told this Ananias was in Damascus and that he was a follower of Jesus. God called him in a vision where he said, "Ananias." And Ananias said, "Yes, Lord." So unlike Paul, it's clear that Ananias knew who Jesus was. He immediately knew that it was the voice of the Lord and replied, "Yes, Lord." And this suggests to me that Ananias had a really close relationship with the Lord. And that he spoke with him often. He recognized his voice immediately. And this started me thinking, would I recognize God's voice if he spoke my name? And would you? We learn more about Ananias further on in Acts, in chapter 22, verse 12. And here Paul, now Paul is the name that Saul was given after he converted to Christianity. So it's the same person. Saul is the same as Paul. Saul's before he became a Christian. Paul's after he became a Christian. So this is Paul speaking after he's become a Christian. He's addressing the crowd, and he tells them of Ananias' part in his story to conversion. He says, "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see." And we learn from this passage that Ananias not just studied the word of God, but he observed it. He put it into practice. He was a highly respected Jewish Christian in the community with a reputation for studying God's word and living it out. He clearly spent time with the Lord regularly. As we read and study the Bible, the living word of God, we get to know and recognize the God we believe and trust in too. We learn to recognise God's voice through our knowledge of his character in Scripture. What a great encouragement to read the Bible more and to encourage each other to read it more as well. The fact that Ananias recognised God's voice from one word says to me that he listened to God regularly too. He didn't just talk at him, he actively listened. He also knew who it was who was calling his name, the God of all creation. Someone worth listening to. The more we give God time to speak to us, having a two-way dialogue, the more we get to know his voice and recognise him when he's speaking to us. What if Ananias hadn't recognised God's voice and responded? Or if instead of saying, "Yes, Lord," he'd said, "No," or, "Can you come back on Sunday when I'm in church and I'm ready to hear your voice?" Or, "Can't you see I'm busy?" Or maybe he might have said, "I thought I heard someone. No, must have been mistaken." Or maybe he could have said, "Can't you call someone else as they'd be much better than I would?" Or, "It's not on my list, my agenda for today. It's not on my to-do list." There's lots of things that he could have said, excuses. And I'm really ashamed to say I can hear myself in a lot of those excuses as well. But it was really important that Ananias recognised it was the Lord speaking to him and that he responded in the positive way he did. If we are not reading God's word, talking and listening to him regularly, getting to know his voice, could it be that God has spoken and called our name, but we've not heard or recognised him? Perhaps we've ignored him or thought that God wouldn't choose to speak to us. Ananias is then given clear instructions from the Lord, really clear. He says, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Wouldn't it be lovely if God spoke to us that clearly every time? He told Ananias exactly where to go, to the house on Straight Street. He told him who he would find, Saul of Tarsus. He told him that Saul would be praying and that Saul would be expecting him, as the Lord had also shown Saul in a vision that Ananias would be coming to place his hands on him to restore his sight. Why did the Lord give such clear instructions in this instance? I like to think maybe it was because of Saul's reputation. Ananias knew Saul was coming to Damascus with the mission of arresting or killing the Christians. And I think the Lord had to be specific for Ananias to believe him and to give him the assurance that the Lord knew what he was doing and to convict him to take that next step and do what God was asking him to do. Sometimes God gives us clear instructions like this, but not always. This was the way the Lord chose to give Ananias the instructions, as he knew Ananias better than anyone else. He also knew about Saul and his reputation. God's way was perfect for this situation, and God will use the perfect way in our situations too. He knows us, he knows our circumstances, and what is best in every situation. When we take a human view of the scenario unfolding in Acts 9, the Lord was asking Ananias to visit a really dangerous man, told him that this really dangerous man would be expecting him, that he was to place his hands on this really dangerous man, and that God would use him to restore this really dangerous man's sight. What if Ananias had, by his own will, chosen to ignore God or let his fear of who God was asking him to go and see overwhelm him at this point? What if he had seen the situation from a human perspective only? What if at this point he thought, "No way, I'm going to die. I'm not doing that," and chosen to ignore God and get on with his day? The instructions were clear. Ananias knew the instructions were from the Lord Almighty. He didn't walk away because he trusted God. However, Ananias did feel the need to challenge the Lord by questioning him. He had an honest conversation with the Lord. And I think if we're honest, you and I would probably have an honest conversation with the Lord if he'd asked us to do that too. He said, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He has come here with the authority of the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias is saying, "Do you really know what you're doing, Lord? Are you sure?" How often do we listen? Sorry. "Don't you know who this man is and why he has come to Damascus?" If Ananias, a devout observer of the law and highly respected in the Jewish community, questioned God, I think that means it's okay for us too, as long as we don't stop there. We need to get beyond our questions and act on God's instructions. Notice here that Ananias says, "I have heard many reports." How often do we listen to what other people say, forming opinions based on what we have heard? Do we trust what people say above what God says? Our primary commitment is not to our human world, our culture, our work, our family, our friends. We have a commitment, we have an allegiance to another kingdom, the kingdom of God. There is a constant tension between this world and God's kingdom. Sometimes we need to question the detail because we're human, but the supremacy of God should not be in doubt. In prayer, we partner with God in seeing his kingdom come on earth. In prayer, in a two-way dialogue with God, Ananias was wrestling with earthly and kingdom matters. God then confirms. There's an authority in the way the Lord responds to Ananias. He just says, "Go." In other words, "I've answered all your questions. Now there's nothing to argue. Just go." And he then reveals some of his plans to sort for Saul to Ananias. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he is to suffer for my name." So God knows Ananias has questions, has doubts, and he addresses these to a degree. The fact that Ananias was highly respected by the Jews means that the rest of the Jewish community would believe that Saul had really seen Jesus, heard Jesus, and been convicted and called by Jesus. God knew what he was doing in choosing Ananias in this situation. God knows what he's doing in our situations too. He is the same God now as he was then. Ananias could still have chosen to ignore God, even at this point. He could still have tried to apply human reasoning to the situation and convince himself that this couldn't really be what God would want him to do. He could have walked away. But Ananias trusted God absolutely completely. He understood how mighty, powerful, and perfect God's ways are. He respected God's authority in the situation over his human understanding. He was open to God speaking to him, using him to speak to and heal a dangerous man in order that God's will could be done on earth at that time. The next crucial step was that Ananias obeyed. Ananias went. God said go, Ananias went. He didn't go and tell someone else what God had said and ask them what they thought or ask someone else to pray for him. He just went. He knew God had spoken and that he needed to be obedient. God was relying on him. He knew and trusted God. How must he have been feeling on that walk to Straight Street? I don't think his mind would have been thinking about what he was going to have for dinner or what he was going to wear tomorrow, I think he would have been praying like he's never prayed before. I think he would have been open to the Holy Spirit and asking God to give him courage and the right words to say. He was probably shaking as he approached the house, probably as you or I would be. But he trusted God completely and understood his responsibility to obey. We're told that Ananias entered the house and placed his hands on Saul. Then God gave him the words to say. He starts by saying, "Brother Saul." Ananias trusts what God has told him to the extent that he knows and accepts that Saul is now his brother in Christ, no longer an enemy. He saw Saul through Jesus' eyes. He had compassion and love for him as a fellow brother in Christ. That can only be the Holy Spirit, can't it, in Ananias, giving him that ability to see Saul, this dangerous man, in that way. He goes on to say, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here." God uses Ananias to confirm that it was Jesus who Saul met on the road to Damascus. Saul had had 3 days of being blind and having no food or drink, plenty of time to question his experience on the road. We're not told that God had explained to Ananias in their earlier conversation the detail of the Lord appearing to Saul on the road. Through being open to the Holy Spirit, God revealed details to Ananias as he obeyed. God gave him the words to say. God honoured Ananias' obedience. He goes on to say, "Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." We read that God healed Saul immediately. Something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. Ananias didn't heal Saul. God did through Ananias. Through his trust and obedience, God healed Saul of his blindness. In Paul's account in Acts 22, which I referred to earlier, when he's telling the crowd about his conversion, he tells us that after Ananias had placed his hands on Saul and God had restored his sight, Ananias said this. He said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." It is clear that as well as giving Ananias the words to say, God gave him authority and insight to guide Paul on the next steps God required of him. Before Jesus ascended to heaven after being raised from the dead, he told his followers that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. The power of the Holy Spirit in Ananias as he delivered God's message to Saul was really evident. Do you think Ananias regretted being obedient to God? No, neither do I. And do you think his faith grew as a result of his experience? Oh boy, yes. Oh boy, yes. Ananias must have looked on with pride as he saw Paul's ministry take off after that, mustn't he? And he saw God use Paul mightily. How excited he must have felt after the event to see what God had done, and how privileged he must have felt to be used by God in that way. His faith must have grown immensely. In summary, if Ananias hadn't have invested time in devoting himself to reading God's word and praying, if he hadn't known God well enough to both hear and recognize his voice, if he hadn't listened to him, questioned him, trusted him, and then obeyed, we wouldn't have seen God's promise fulfilled through Paul. And we wouldn't have most of the rest of the New Testament. This story demonstrates the way God knows each of us intimately. He knows our name. He calls our name and chooses us in the different circumstances he has placed us. If we understand fully the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross, how his obedience to the Father, costly as it was essential to God's plan of defeating death by raising Jesus to life. If we believe and have committed our lives to serving and following Christ Jesus, we, like Ananias, will desire to get to know God better so that we recognise God's voice too when he calls our name. We will recognise God's authority and we will trust that he knows what he's doing. We, and I include myself when I say we need to invest in our relationship with the Lord, to prioritise reading and studying the Bible, to have regular conversation with the Lord so that we get to know him better and recognise his voice when he's speaking to us, to give him time to speak to us so we just don't just speak at him. We need to stop making excuses or believing the lie that God wouldn't choose to use us. We need to stop listening to what people say above what God is saying. And most importantly, we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. Sometimes it may be that we have to ignore human reasoning and just obey. We, like Ananias, may not feel comfortable at the time, but we will not regret it, and our faith will grow as a result. Each time we hear God, we trust him, obey, and if God chooses, we see the impact of God using us, we will grow in confidence, and our faith will grow, and we will learn to trust more. Imagine how much more God could do in and through us if we all became a little bit more like Ananias. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we come before you as the almighty, living God, and we want to recognise your supremacy in our lives, in our world, and to acknowledge, Lord, that you know best. We ask you to empower us to engage in actively reading the Bible more and to encourage each other in that. Create in us a desire to have a deeper relationship with you so that we can learn to recognise your voice better in everyday situations we encounter. Help us to actively listen for your voice in all circumstances. Help us to discern more clearly when it is your voice speaking to us, Lord. Let your voice be louder and clearer than any other. Thank you that you know and love us intimately, better than we know and love ourselves. And thank you that your plans are good and perfect. Thank you that you long to use us for your glory, that you believe in us and trust us enough to use us for your glory, Lord. Thank you for the times you have spoken to us. Thank you that you have already spoken to some people here and that you're prompting them to take that next step of obedience. Thank you for the things you have spoken to us that we are yet to see fulfilled in your timing, not ours. Lord, we come before you and want to say sorry for the times we haven't recognised your voice, or for the times we have heard your voice but have chosen to ignore it, make excuses, or to believe the lie that someone else would be better than us. We're sorry for the times we have applied human reasoning to a situation, listened to what other people say rather than trusting you fully, or have let fear override our trust in you. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't see ourselves as you see us, or see others as you see them. We hand situations or thoughts that come to mind now to you. Thank you, Lord, that when we truly repent, you forgive completely and wash us white as snow. I pray that today would mark the turning of a page, the start of a new chapter in our own autobiography, whether we're at chapter one, just starting out on a journey with you in our lives, or whether we're on chapter 20, 30, 40. In this new chapter, create in us a desire to walk closer with you, be more open to your Holy Spirit, prompting, equipping, and empowering us. Help us to learn to trust you more, and give us a newfound courage and boldness to take that step of obedience and play our part in what you are asking of us. As we see you at work in us, using us as your hands and feet, grow our faith in you, grow our dependence on you. Show us more of your heart for situations, for people. Show us more of your awesome love and power. We offer our lives to you afresh this evening and say, use us for your glory here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I invite the band just to come back up? We're going to have a time of response. I just want to say, do whatever you feel you need to do after what you've heard this evening. If God's prompting you to get on your knees and repent for times you've ignored him or not listened to him, then do that. Do that if that's needed. You need to do business with him, you need to have a conversation with him, you need to listen to him because you haven't listened to him for a while, then spend time just talking with the Lord, just starting up that conversation again. He will forgive you, and he's longing for you to come back to him to start that conversation again, or to take that conversation to the next step. If you're grateful for God's forgiveness and committed to starting a new chapter in your autobiography, then worship God and tell him. Have a two-way conversation with him. If you need to sit alone, find somewhere to go and sit alone. If you need to be with people, ask people to be there. And if you need to share, share with somebody around you. If you need to sing, then sing. Somebody said to me at lunchtime, just sing. And sometimes just singing is the right thing to do, isn't it? If you need someone to help you to start a conversation with Jesus, if that's not a familiar thing for you, then ask one of us to do it. There's loads of us who'd be happy to do that with you. We'd be delighted to cheer you on in your journey of faith. And if you know God has been speaking to you already this evening, and that you know you need to share a word or a picture for somebody else, then go and share it with them. Feel free to move around. There are at the back tables, there's just some sheets. There's a blank letter. If it helps you to write down your thoughts, a letter to Jesus. I find sometimes that helps me. There's also some blank sheets which you can draw pictures. If you're having a conversation with God and you just want to record what he's saying to you to mark tonight, then go and make use of that. There's also a bit of a sort of self-assessment of that sequence of things that we learned from Ananias, where you can just sort of say, where am I on reading the word? Where am I on talking to God? If you find that helpful, then feel free to go to the back and do that. Otherwise, stay where you are, just... no rules. Let's just do what we need to do. Do business with God. And the band will lead us. Thank you.
time when Caroline was preaching, and then I want to invite Chris to come and share something that he has sensed. And there were two things really that struck me about what Caroline was saying and about what the passage says. One is about the voice and the need to recognize the voice. And the second is about that it was Saul's name and Ananias' name that was called. And I want you just to put yourself, picture yourself at a party. Now, I don't care what sort of party you go to, but picture yourself at a busy party and you're in a crowded room and there are lots and lots and lots of voices. And then a loved one speaks over the other side of the room and you pick up on that voice. You can hear all that's going on around you, and yet somehow you are tuned in to that person's voice because you know them. You recognize it, you love them, you have a connection with them. That's what it should be like when we hear God speak. We should pick up on his voice more than the clamor, the noise, the traffic, the kids, whatever it is. We should pick up on that voice in that same way. And the second is related, really. Imagine yourself Christmas shopping. I know it's a bit early yet, but you know what the supermarkets and the malls get like. It's a nightmare. It's packed. There's people pushing around all over the place. And nobody cares what else is going on around them. But if somebody calls your name, even though it's not necessarily any higher than anything else, there is a connection again. There's something special about your name being called and spoken. And notice that God called Ananias by name. He called Saul by name. When Jesus met Mary in the garden after his resurrection, the way that she recognized him was when he called her by name. That God will speak your name. And then just one more thing that, and I can't remember where I heard this, probably at Soul Survivor one year or another, or probably every year, probably. And that is that that the devil knows your name, but he calls out your sin, and the Lord knows your sin, and yet he calls out your name. And if you're feeling like someone's on your back about your sin, I don't think it's going to be God. It's going to be the devil pointing that out to you. God's going to be the one that's just calling your name and calling you back to him. Chris, do you want to come and share what you felt? There was a lyric in that last song about coming to the Lord where our shame is undone. And I made this note earlier as Caroline was speaking, that there is no told you so with God. We can run away as much as we like, but when we come back, there is no, yeah, see what you did? Look at that. Yeah. There's none of that. God just says, love keeps no record of wrongs. He's just going to welcome you back at that moment, Chris.
Yeah, I just had this sense on my heart. I feel like there might be two people here tonight of kind of linking in with what Ricky just said of kind of, I feel like you might feel a bit guilty. Guilty about something you've done or something you've said or something relationship-wise that's kind of happened. And I feel like that might be the one thing that's stopping you from really wanting to connect with God in that sense, that kind of invitation to listen to what he has to say, you know, that he has for you is put into a box and locked away because you go, well, there's no way God would want to speak to me because I'm too far gone. That's not the case. That's not the case. That box is so ready to be blown open. And you just need to say, okay, that's all. Nothing more than that. God wants to speak. I'm so sure of it. Don't let that guilt hold you back.
So let's continue in worship. Let's just invite the Lord, each one of us, invite the Lord to come and do business with us as we seek to do business with him.
The Lord is asking me to share with you tonight how I heard the voice of God. Very briefly, I was a very wayward child, a runaway in gangs, and this was in Japan, and they could never find me. When I was brought back to England, a few weeks, in the middle of the night, Jesus woke me up. And he said, "Tonight, Ruth, if I come back, you're going to get left behind." And I thought, oh, that's awful. I'm in England, not Japan. I can't get back to the gang. I was 16. The next thing Jesus said to me, "Ruth, tonight, if you die, you're going to hell." And I knew it. I knew in the depth of my soul that I had been so awful and I needed God's forgiveness. And there and there, in the dark room on my own, I just got on my knees and repented and said, "Sorry, Jesus, for the way I've lived my life." And it's like it happened yesterday. Jesus calls us. He speaks to us, and I am so grateful he did that night, because I wouldn't be here otherwise, because I nearly lost my life in that gang. So I praise God that he speaks, and he speaks today.
Okay, I just want to share a picture that I had when we were worshipping then. And it's of a person, and they're looking through a wall, and the wall's got through a barred window. The wall's got upright bars, and they're looking through the wall, through this window, through the open gaps, and they can see Jesus in a beautiful garden, and they can hear him. And they're holding tight to the bars because they're trying to look through. What they don't realize is that actually, just to the right and to the left, that wall's destroyed. There is no wall. The only bit of wall there is the bit they're holding on to and looking through the bars. And what Jesus is saying is, let go of the bars and you can walk around and come to me. I'm calling you, come to me. And those bars are our bars that are rules and regulations that we've made ourselves. I can't come because. I can't get let go because. And Jesus is saying, let go and come to me.
Church, we'd be wrong of us. There's two pictures that I want to share with us, but the first thing I want to say is this. I have a sense tonight that in this place, as we're singing these songs, that some people in this place tonight that just don't know Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. We've spoke and we've sung so much about this person who can liberate us, who can give us freedom, who just wants us to come to him. Doesn't want perfection, he just wants repentance in our hearts to know that we've done wrong. So I want to encourage you, all of us right now, just close your eyes with me. And if there's somebody here tonight that they don't understand fully, but they've encountered Jesus tonight through maybe the word that's been spoken, through the words that were shared by that chap, I don't know who it was, the chap that came up here, that maybe that tonight, when all the other eyes in the church are closed, trust me, I can see them. And maybe tonight you just want to say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I want to draw closer to you. I want to walk towards you, and I want you to walk towards me, and I want you to take my hand, and I want you to reveal to me your truth, the thing that will set me free from my fears and my anxious thoughts and my anxieties. Is there anybody tonight, all the eyes are closed, I just want to ask you to put your hand up and then just put it down again because I want to pray for you tonight. I just sense that there's somebody here tonight that they want to. I'm just going to pray, thank you. I'm just going to pray. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm just pray. Father God, I pray for that person. And I pray, Father God, that as they reach out their hand to you in total dependence, that you will hold onto the hand and draw them into your presence. Amen. Amen. I've got another thing. I wasn't sure, but I'm going to put it out there because I kind of sense in my spirit that I should. And when Caroline was talking, and after she finished talking, I just kept coming back to it. And so let me just put that out there. And then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes again. I'm going to ask us to respond. I get a sense in my spirit that there's a few of us tonight in this place that we're behaving like Saul, and God wants us to be Paul's. Do you hear what I'm saying? That we're cross like Saul was. We're angry like Saul was. We want to, what was the phrase you used, Caroline? Dangerous person. Dangerous man or woman. And I sense that not externally, but internally tonight, there's some people among us that just, you know that within you, and I'm not just talking to them, I'm talking to you all, is that there's some souls here tonight. And I have a real sense that God's saying to me, but I want you to be Paul. I want you to be Paul. I don't want you to be Saul. I don't want you to believe like that, and I don't want you to behave like that. I'm not talking externally, I'm talking internally. Frustrated, cross, angry, and all those other mixed emotions. It might be for me, but I think it might be for some others too. I hear God saying to us tonight, I don't want you to be Saul's. I want you to be Paul's. Because when you're Paul's, my kingdom grows. My kingdom expands. People will see Jesus in you when you're Paul's, not when you're Saul's. And I know it's all about a different story, but I sense that in my spirit. And so I'm going to do something bold now. I'm going to ask you again to close your eyes. And then I'm going to ask you tonight that if there's anything within you tonight, any character within you, any internal frustrations of Saul, and your heart's desires to be a Paul. Okay, I'm going to ask you in a minute. All the eyes are closed. But I'm going to ask you in a minute to do something really bold. I'm just going to simply ask you to stand. Now it's Saul and Paul, but it could be Sally and Patricia. It could be female too. So I'm going to ask you that, knowing your inner heart and knowing who you truly are, maybe other people don't see of you, and there's actions and there's opinions and there's views and there's frustrations of Saul, that tonight, for the Holy Spirit's anointing on your life, you want to be a Paul. Internally, you want to be a Paul. Externally, people haven't got a clue. But you want to be a Paul internally. So then people will have a greater impact by your life because of who you are in Christ. I'm going to ask Connor just to keep playing for a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you to take away all those Saul-like feelings and to liberate you tonight so that you can be a Paul, because the world needs some Pauls. So if that's you, as Connor's just playing his guitar, just want to ask you to stand where you are. And we're going to pray. Thank you. Father God, we know that you're God who has mercy on us. We know that you're God that is a God who's loving and forgiving. And you're a God of restoration. You're a God of new beginnings. You're a God of new hope. And Lord, I want to pray for the many that are standing right now. I pray, Almighty God, that Father God, you would come in the only way you can. through the awesome power of your Holy Spirit, and you would speak into every soul that has stood. And Lord, that you would cleanse their minds and their thoughts and their soul-like characters, their internal characters, and that you would liberate them by your Holy Spirit and give them the freedom that you gave to Saul, who then became such a powerful man of God, who then just brought liberation in Jesus' name to nation and nations and nations and nations. He spoke the very word of the Lord and people came to faith in Jesus. And Lord, for those who are standing tonight, I pray, Father God, that you will liberate them. Liberate them from that internal character. Liberate them and give them freedom in their souls so that they will give that to the Lord tonight. And they will say, Lord, I no longer seek to live like that, but I want to be liberated by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so, Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would do that right in this moment, right in this very moment, Lord, that you would bring about a change in heart, a change in character, that because of this prayer tonight and because of this moment tonight, that there would be more Pauls proclaiming the gospel, living a sacrificial life, being true to the word of God. So, Lord, would you bring freedom? Would you bring liberation? And Lord, the only way we know how is to ask your Holy Spirit to come in power and authority to do that. So, Father God, would you do that in those stood right now? Holy Spirit, we've sung already tonight that you are indeed welcome here. Invade the souls of those stood tonight. Dissolve the anxious thoughts, the things that are not of you. Dissolve them by the power of your Spirit. Take them away. Wash them as white as snow. Because the blood of Jesus can do that. Bring liberation through the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross. And Lord, place in those who are standing, and maybe those who are seated as well, place in them a new heart. Place in them a heart that longs after the Lord. The heart that just looks in a different way to all they perceive and all that they see. Holy Spirit, would you come and do that? Would you pour out your Holy Spirit now in a gentle way, in a loving way, but in a profound way? And bring liberation. And bring freedom. And bring truth. Jesus. Please, Jesus. Start a new work. That they never and we never be the same again because of Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's hand over to Connor maybe to sing maybe another song. I don't know. I wasn't doing anything tonight. So I'll hand over back to Ricky. Connor. Thank you.
Father God, we want to thank you for all that we've heard this evening. Thank you for all that you've done in this place this evening and in each one of us. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory for all that you've been doing. Though the things that we have seen and that we've sensed and the things that you've been doing which are unseen and which we will hear about in days to come and years to come. But Lord, come, as we leave this place, Lord, don't just leave here or leave us here, Lord. Just come and complete your work in us, we pray, for each one of us, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the example that we've heard tonight from the story of Ananias. Thank you that he was listening. Thank you that he was devoted to you. Thank you, Lord, that he was obedient to you and that he went in faith to do the things that you called him to do. Not knowing, it didn't make any sense to him, but Father, he went and he did it and it was your perfect plan. And Father, I believe that's true for each one of us as well, that you have a perfect plan for us. Lord, would you help us to listen more, to be more devoted, to be more obedient, to be more faithful in all that you call us to do. But come, Lord, and speak to us, we pray. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. Please stay for tea and coffee, but don't let all this end there.